This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app and you'll get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus rewards registration required. Points only on menu items, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Hello and welcome to Seagull Social Season 3, Episode 45, and it is the last podcast of the this finale. Season, boys. The finale.
Fuck for that.
What are you on about, man? It's been a fantastic coaster. Yeah, it has been a roller coaster, not to quote Jack Albion.
Life
it's been
a roller coaster. You just gotta ride it.
Nice. Okay. Right, boys. What? How this is going to go, just for all the viewers, we're going to be quickly going over the Villa game, of course, which did result in a loss, but not the end of the world for us, of course. And then we'll be talking about the season as a whole, a nice summary of the season and what we thought of everything. And then, you lucky viewers and listeners, you're going to be getting another pod as well, where we're going to be looking forward to next season as well. So it's a fun-packed evening of Brighton of Albion content for you all. So let's start with you, Ryan. You, of course, in that away end at Villa Park, look very much a party atmosphere. You got the T-shirt to prove it as well. Talk to me.
I've literally got the T-shirt.
What was the day out like? Yeah.
Yeah, it was decent, to be fair. Do you know what? It's funny. I don't know if people probably said it by now, but I don't know if you're able to see as I turn around. But
it's a spelling mistake, isn't there?
It was spelt wrong. All the away games of the season was on there. You probably didn't be able to see it on there. But yeah, they did manage to spell Tottenham wrong, so it's Tottenham Hotspur, which is quite funny. But it's quite funny that we're the ones that cost it for them, and then we ended up, all that stuff.
Who's
but
that?
No, mate, it was a decent day out. To be fair, it's my first day at first time at Villa Park. So yeah, it was a decent atmosphere.
Really?
To be fair, I didn't go in the Championship, and then I didn't go. I think they got promoted second season, didn't they? So I don't know. For some reason, I just didn't do it. And I've done it now. But no, I think I would probably do it again, to be honest with you. It's a decent day out. What I can say for the Villa fans is one thing, you know, we could talk about the game in a minute, but one thing I will say about the Villa fans is fair play to them at the end of the game, because it was actually class. We're all singing Oasis together. We're all singing all the songs, all the High Hill Silver Lining as well. You know, the Brighton of Albion instead of the Villa. I thought it was great, to be fair. It was a good bit of fun, and like, you know, it's good to see. I've never seen two sets of fans, particularly us, get involved in sort of something like that. So, no, it was good fun, and singing there, not Stop Crying Your Eye Out. It was Don't Look Back in Anger. That was quality. Loved that. Nice. So, yeah, really good fun.
Now, that is football take this off now. At its best, isn't it? Yes, right. Just mute your mic. Watch it. You got it. That's fun. Hero. That's where football's at its best, isn't it? When you've got two fans, they've both achieved something exceptional in their seasons for their clubs, and the fact that they can both sing together, celebrate that they're both achieving Europe, that's pretty special. Like, I don't normally like a Villa, but I think seeing that just made me obviously have a little bit more respect for them, and you kind of saw a nice side of the fans. Of course, they're not going to be moody after qualifying for Europe, but
we said in the preview, I was happy that Villa got it in the end, got Europe in the end. Because, Spurs at one point, obviously, when we were drawing, Spurs were winning. Obviously, they scored in the first minute, didn't they, against Leeds. So they were technically going into the European spot at that point. And I was a bit like, oh, that's a bit obviously I knew there was still a long, long way to go, but I was like, oh, that's a bit crap if the Spurs do get it. So yeah, I'm glad Villa made it in the end. And yeah, we're all going to Europe. We're all going on a European tour. So yeah, it's great to see. And then just to quickly go through the game, Ben, just quickly, it resulted in a 2-1 loss to us. I know we were sort of, you know, half on the beach, and it was actually a relatively strong side, wasn't it, the Zerbi put out?
Yeah, apart from Ayari, which is obviously that was the big surprise. Well, maybe it's not a surprise because we did kind of predict maybe one like young player would come in that has maybe had a few games, but I don't think we necessarily played too bad. I was surprised that Dunk didn't play again. Like, the fact that he's been given, I know he's played like every single game. Yeah, he was drunk. that could be why. To be fair, I didn't see him in Shushan Saturday night though, which I thought I could have been.
He might go to other establishments, Ben.
Yeah, true. We won't name them. But yeah, no, I think it was a good day. I'm sure the fans still enjoyed it. We never beat Villa, so even if it was a game we needed to win, I probably would expect us to win anyway. So we could have played the under 12s, even though we've full of Wonder Kids, and we still would have been the same result. No, it was just kind of felt like an on the beach performance.
I thought Undav played really well. I thought, you know, he could have kind of hat trick. Obviously, he had a goal disallowed.
First half,
played well. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, first half, really, really well played. Any standout performance for you, Ryan? I know, again, it was a bit of a meaningless game in the grand scheme of things, but anyone that stood out for you?
Ciso looked good, Ryan.
No, I'm joking. Yeah, Julio was good, actually, you know. And I will talk about...
Got under the fan skin straight away.
Yeah, and I like the fact he tried to really fire us up when we thought we had equalised. But it turned out it was offside. I think it was offside, wasn't it, in the end? But I will mention that goal that Undav scored because it was such a good finish. He sort of controls it with his head, doesn't he? He's like watched it go over Mings. He's completely done him, by the way. And then he's hit it with his left foot. It was such a good finish. It's actually a very underrated goal, I think, because like obviously it didn't really mean anything. And, you know, it doesn't look as nice as it probably is as hard to, I don't know, if you're not trying to say, it's a hard finish to pull off. And no, I'm happy for Dennis, mate. He's doing so well. He's got 5 goals in 8 games for us now. So it's almost like he's had to just hit the ground running. And he said it himself, and that he's enjoying himself now. And you can really see it. So hopefully he's important for us going into next season. Because, long live Dennis Undav.
love it. Well, look, I think we can leave it there. It was a nice little transition there. Look forward to next season.
I finished off, even though if you want to mention the Villa game. Sorry, Maz.
If
you want to mention Alexis McAllister, just because at the end he was in absolute tears.
Of course.
Obviously, Lewis Dunk, giving him a hug, and De Zerbi doing this to him. It was a very emotional moment, I've got to be honest. And I did go down towards that sort of bit, right on the touchline and just sort of watched it. And it was, you can tell they're all emotional. It looks like Alexis is going to leave. And fair play to him for doing it in the way he has, you know.
It's funny you say that, actually, Ryan, because obviously, the last pod we had before the Villa game, we said, didn't we? We were like, was that the final goodbye from him at the Man City game?
Definitely.
But I said it was a bit of an underwhelming, not an underwhelming one, but like it didn't feel like a proper goodbye. Whereas, the Villa one looked like a proper goodbye. He was in tears.
Yeah.
Like you said, everyone was going up to him and, he gave his farewells, essentially. And look, I think, let's all give our little mini sort of... props to McAllister. I'll start. I think, look, what he's achieved with us is incredible. He came to the club. He then went on to become a World Cup winner, and he's now left us qualifying us for Europe. So I don't think he could have achieved any more for us, really. Aside from winning the league, which is very unrealistic. But or winning the FA Cup. Yeah, what a farewell that would have been. Like the stuff he's achieved for us in the short time he's been with us. You know, he's only been here three seasons, full seasons.
Three and a half.
Because obviously he went out on loan as well. What he's achieved, and he's been. I think the key thing for me is a lot of players have left on bad notes, a lot of the players, and they sort of learnt to dislike them. But the way he's handled himself, I think, has been brilliant so far. And of course, there's still some time maybe for him to fuck up, but I hope he doesn't and he leaves gracefully. And, he seems like a really stand-up, incredible person. And I think he deserves everything he should get going forward. And, Ryan, you kick us off next. Just give us a little thing, rundown on McAllister leaving.
He's top. He's done so well to commend himself in the way he has. Regardless of what is sort of his dad's been coming out in the media and stirring the pot a little bit. It's been nice, even if he does go on and I don't know what he's going to do. To be fair, whether he goes to Liverpool, I still stand by the idea that I can't see it, but it looks like it could probably be wrong now.
But yeah, I don't know. I just think he's been quality. I think that, you know, to see him, like Lewis Dunk was trying to get him over and he didn't even want to face the crowd. Like he was had his hand, you know, over his face. He was completely in tears. So it clearly means a lot to him. And, you know, he's never bad-mouthed us. Even after the World Cup, he did so well to sort of commend Brighton every single time, which is hard for hard to do for these big players. They see, you know, they can see a bit of success and they just forget where they've come from. But no, full credit to Alexis and, you know, wish him all the best in his next chapter, I suppose.
Yeah, no, I love that. And Ben, finally, on McAllister.
Yeah, it was really sad. I mean, it was sad seeing him clap when after the City game. So I can't imagine it would have been like being there in person watching him break down. Because, yeah, even when he was clapping at City, I think I said on the last episode, I had a little lump in my throat, but probably would have sent me, probably would have sent me seeing him in bits.
Close enough.
But yeah, no, incredible story. He's kind of maybe our like first big South American prospect that came over and has actually, you know, reached that potential. He's been such an incredible journey. So it's a shame that it's so short, because a lot of the times you'd love these players to be long servants for the club, but I guess it's something we're going to have to get used to, as loving them for 2 or 3 years and then saying goodbye to them straight away. We'll have to get used to this, but yeah, it's really sad. You know, Alexis McAllister, number 10 for Brighton, South American wonder kid, has now got his big move. It's a fairy tale, but unfortunately we're the stepping stone at the moment.
Yeah.
But yeah, he's been incredible. And I saw today, I think like Fabrizio Romano was saying that says that the fee is going to be less than 70 million, which...
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Mate, right? I wouldn't have expected him to be 80. I think that's more like the Caicedo fee, but yeah, I guess, I mean, if we can get 70 million, 65, 70 million to him,
though,
I'll be happy with that.
Yeah, no, of course. Look, those fees, if you told any Brighton fan a couple of years back we're going to be getting astronomical fees for these players, you wouldn't. But in the current market, I think it's a sort of a fair reflection in a weird way. But then you look at it and you think, he's 24, he's a World Cup winner, he's just qualified for Europe. Like, surely does that not bring up his price tag? So, yeah.
Is there a gentleman's agreement, maybe, just to say, look, yeah, you know, we'll let you go at a sweetener price?
Yeah.
Yeah, possibly. I don't know. That's the only thing I can think of, because it does seem a bit cheap.
Yeah, no, 100%.
Well boys, from what I've heard is that we're getting Milner. It seems that we might. One of my friends who's in the know, I think he knows Oxlade-Chamberlain's photographer. He knows someone that does photography with Alex Oxlade-Chamberlain, and apparently he's got an agreement to join us as well. So maybe there's a thing like we'll get Milner and Ox. And yeah, McAllister goes that way.
Oh, you heard it here first, everyone.
Heard it here first.
In the know.
Ben's comes
uncle's
off the
hairdresser's dog.
Yeah,
no,
yeah.
Play. If just you did get that,
he wants
fair play.
Alex we'll run it back. Chamberlain's we'll clip hair.
It yeah.
Fair. Right, boys. Brilliant. So let's get on to then. Seagull Social, Brighton Hove Albion 2022-23 season awards. Okay, hosted by your very own M-A-Z.
I don't have a trophy to give.
Lad Bible's finest.
Yeah, Lad Bible's finest. Right, boys, so let's kick off,
can
shall we?
Mouse.
Right, the first award is for... let's start... Actually, do you know what? I'm going to work backwards and we'll get to the top prize, in my opinion.
Oh, sorry, so, off now.
I'm nervous.
Yeah, I know.
I'm nervous.
Yeah, so just for context, Brian's gone into this blind because he wanted a bit of a challenge. So, just for everyone out there, Ryan
so
wanted a bit
blind.
Of fun, and I respect it. I respect it highly. So, Benjamin, we'll start with you, just so give Ryan a bit of thinking time.
Benedict, that's fine. Good stuff.
Benedict, yeah, Benjamin, Benedict, yeah, same thing. Tomato, tomato. Right, Ben, goal of the season award.
Right. Goal of the... That's the one thing I didn't fill in, but I know it already.
Okay,
Julian Ciso versus Manchester City.
Yeah.
I mean, it was given the award by BBC Match of the Day, and I'm only going to follow suit because it was an absolute worldie. We discussed it in the office today, actually. It was pretty underwhelming, the goals of the season. I don't know if you guys saw the montage that the BBC Match of the Day put together. The goals this season weren't that great, really. There wasn't any like standouts. It wasn't a hard decision. So, Julio Enciso versus Manchester City.
Okay, love that. Okay, so Julio Enciso is locked in for vote number one. Ryan, vote number two, goal of the season.
I'm vouching the same thing, mate. That I said it last week. To get a strike that pure is absolutely top-notch. It was right at the top corner against the champions. It sealed us Europa League football. It meant a lot, and it also looked great. It's a very hard finish to pull off. And the move as well that it built up with from the back with Steele, with Colwill, you know, it was such a great move. So, yeah, we'll go with Julio. But there's been some crackers this season, it must be said. You know, Alexis and stuff at the beginning.
Yeah.
We've had some good goals. But, yeah, Julio, definitely. Yeah.
100%. And finally, my vote. And, of course, it's going to be a clean sweep. However, honourable mention, of course, is that... Chelsea goal as well, Julio and Ciso. He was up for both. So, yeah, Man City, I think you've both done it justice. I don't really need to add any more. We all know what an absolute strike it was and what it meant for the season as well. So, yeah, there you go, Julio Ciso. You have won the first award of Seagull Socials Awards, and it is the goal of the season.
I can already hear his tears around the corner from my house.
pick up the non-existent trophy. We'll send it in the post to you. All right,
that kid cries at everything. He'll cry when the delivery man gives him the package.
Right, next one. Signing of the season. Ryan Adsett, signing of the season, please take us away.
Absolute no-brainer. Purpose Estupiñán. He's been fantastic. He's been so good. £15 million. We've lost Mark Cucurella, player of the season last year. £60 million we got through, and we were thinking even that was, you know, a bit worried as to who we're going to replace him with. £15 million, our Europa League boy. Purvis Estupiñán. And he was fantastic in the World Cup, so he's done it on the big stage too. So, yeah, top marks to Purvis. He's my number one vote.
Love that. Nice. I'm going to go next. And Ryan, I've got it written down exactly the same as you. Purvis Estupiñán. Yeah, what an incredible... I think just to reiterate what you said about the whole Cucurella saga. Of course, when we lost Cucurella, I think everyone, and I think it's fair to say 95% of the fan base were a bit, you know, stuck, you know, what we're going to do, you know, is, yeah, upset, yeah, that's the word I was looking for. But I think he's come
big
in
word.
And he's deputized this season so well. Like, to come from Spanish football, you know, Villarreal, very different style of play. But like you said, he's shown his quality, his caliber, and I think he's been outstanding this season. He's been, I think, 95% of the time top class. He's had one game or two games where he's been a bit under par, but yeah, he's been Mr. Consistent. So yeah, I also vote for Purvis Estupiñán. And Ben?
Oh, Estupiñán, you are the love of my life, oh, Estupiñán. I'll let you shag my wife, oh, Estupiñán. I want to be a perv too.
Courtesy of the Aaron Moy.
How did you kill that? Such a great moment. It's mad. It's crazy.
So Ben, is that fair to say you're also voting for Purvis Estupiñán?
Yeah, big perv. Big perv is the signing of the season.
Yeah, nice. Okay, love that. Right, boys, we're all in tandem so far. So just to confirm, signing of the season is Purvis Estupiñán. We've all gone for clean sweep so far. So let's see.
Could have been Levi, if the
audience listening... If the audience listening can't tell, this is a late night recording and I'm delirious. Bank holiday has absolutely finished me off.
Right, next one.
And I'm dead.
Okay, next one. I'll start. Unsung hero. Now, I actually quite struggled for this one as an unsung hero, because I feel like throughout the season, a lot of the players have had their plaudits, especially, you know, the high performers. So I tried to think of sort of outside the box, but my vote goes to Joel Veltman. Now, I think that he's been pretty consistent all season. I feel like, you know, a lot of the other players get a lot of the plaudits. You know, the Caicedos, the Max, the Lewis Dunks, the Levi Coles. You know, like the ones that really stand out. But I think Joel Veltman's just been there. He's been consistent. When he's been right back, we've seen the big difference. I think that's the key thing. When he's not been in the side, we've really noticed. Because obviously, cover, Caicedo's had to slot in. Gross has had to slot in. So I think just for, the lack of cover for Reltman, and I think he's my unsung hero. So there you go. Let's go with Ben next.
You know what? This is a player that's probably, in my eyes, too good to be unsung, but for some reason I've still put him down as unsung. But I just feel like he goes under the radar every season because he's just that good constantly. And he gets spoken about, but probably not enough in my opinion. Pascal Gross, again, phenomenal player. So bloody good. Absolutely love him. Club legend. One goal away from being our top or equal Premier League goal record. So I can't wait for that moment to happen for him because he absolutely deserves it. And yeah, an absolute player. Rolls Royce.
Love that. Love that. And I like Ryan, finally. Yeah, there you go. Okay, go on then, Ryan. You can be the deciding vote, or you can even put another name in the mix, and then we can all vote.
Do you know what? I will. My answer is a decider, but I'm going to put another name in the mix, just as one that I think has been good. But honorable through mention. Everything that he's been through, honorable mention of everything he's been through, he's come out most recently, and he's come back into the team recently, and has been very, 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 very important for us. Billy Gilmore, everything that boy has been through, coming down here, 21 years old, been thrown in some very, very harsh games, and he's always made a good account of himself, and recently he's made himself into a good player too, and I don't doubt he'll go on to do better. But yeah, everything that obviously has been horrible off the pitch too for him. So big, 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 big shout out to Billy Gilmore for getting through all that and getting better. But I do want to give the award to Joel Veltman. I think Joel just deserves it. I love Pascal. I absolutely love Pascal, but he is loved by everyone. Veltman, he is loved by everyone, but not as much as
the unsung hero, Ben. That's the giveaway, mate.
Yeah, I know. I still think that Pascal Gross doesn't get enough plaudits that he gets.
No, I agree. Outside the Brighton fan base, I think that's the key thing.
Someone clip this segment up and send it to Joel Veltman's wife, because she needs to realise how appreciated this bloke is.
Yeah.
I don't want to see any more messages. Don't want to see any more cryptic Instagram stories. Someone clip this to her, send it to her DM.
And also, as well, just a shout out. We done a post, remember? We did. Do we need a new right back? It also wasn't aimed at Joel, but he viewed the story. Just if you, by any chance, Joel Veltman, you are watching, we actually love you. It was just more about squad depth,
of course we do.
And we need to cover a right back. Yeah. So sign the new contract as well, mate. But no, congrats to Joel Veltman for the Unsung Hero Award. Yeah, well done, mate. Sure, if you're watching this. Big up for yourself.
We'll send it down the chimney where you got that seagull out from as well.
Right,
that's
let's
such a good
go.
Moment. That's a good one.
Right, let's go next. Okay, this is an interesting one. So this is broken down into two awards, all right? Two separate awards. Now, the first one is Performance of the Season Award.
Only one winner.
And we're going to split it into team. So team performance of the season. And player performance of the season. So one standout team performance, one standout player performance. Okay. So, Ben, can you kick us off, please, with your team performance of the season?
Saying that there's only one winner, I can think of so many brilliant performances.
Yeah, I was going to say, one winner, mate. I'm thinking of at least four.
But the reason, and when I say it, you'll think, okay, well, I hope you will anyway, but you'll think, yeah, that has to be it. Just for what it meant, beating Chelsea at the Amex. Against Graham Potter.
Yeah, nice.
And spanking them, bending them over and whipping their bottoms and absolutely obliterating them at the Amex Stadium. That is by far the team performance of the season. That game mattered so much. One of the biggest games in the club's history.
Yeah.
And we spanked Chelsea Football Club after everything that happened. So for that reason, that gets my vote.
I like it. I like it a lot. Ryan?
Chelsea comes to mind first. I think emotion, absolutely. Like that is one of the most emotional games I've ever watched. And I think that the way we just demolished them, absolutely. But I think in terms of performance, in terms of a De Zerbi ball, absolute. I think that Liverpool 3-0 at the Amex was perfect. I couldn't really tell you any moment of that game where we weren't great. We're against the top team. I know they're in bad form, but to go and beat them 3-0 after just beating them in the cup, wasn't it? I think it was after just beating them in the cup. And to return it again, we look really good in that game. But I'll give the honourable mention to Chelsea, 100%.
Oh, no, sorry. That was massive. Sorry, we beat them in the cup after, sorry.
You know what I meant. Yeah. It was in that week of we beat them twice in a fortnight or something like that. But that game was so perfect.
No.
Welle flicking the ball over Joe Gomez's head. Sonny March's unbelievable finish from outside the box. And he even said, didn't he, after the game, he was like, that was a drill we worked on in training all week. And just actually have that play out and do that goal on the pitch, he said, there's no better feeling. So, yeah, that's a very good
game. Arsenal Emirates. Great Arsenal
shout.
Emirates, boys.
I know. I was just about to say that. I thought you were going to say that.
I've got two, but I am going to hit Arsenal. That was my first one. So Arsenal at the Emirates after losing as well. I think that's the key thing. So badly to Everton, to go back and for Robert De Zerbi to give it the gun talk. You're going to see the real Brighton.
Yeah.
And then he goes and smacks Arsenal 3-0.
Oh, see, I thought you were talking about the League Cup one.
No, that was brilliant as well.
Another
great.
And Emirates, mate, we love
I was
it.
Actually, that made it better because obviously I was in the away end for that. So that was brilliant. But no, the league game where we lost 5-1 to Everton, and then De Zerbi said, "Look, you're going to see the real Brighton on Sunday." And what did we see? We saw the real Brighton because I was able to watch Dennis
chip Ramsdale on his birthday from about three rows behind it. I thought that was brilliant.
Scenes. And then another honourable mention, but I am sticking with my Arsenal 3-0. But an honourable mention for me as well is the Manchester United game where we obviously beat them in the 10th minute of injury time. Purely just because to get that revenge on when Bruno Fernandes scored that penalty in outside of normal time. That was just, and scoring the 100th minute, whatever it was. There's been a lot of redemption stories, which is great. But I'm locking in Arsenal, so Emirates in the league.
I'll have that as the away. And then let's do Chelsea at home.
Okay, nice.
Yeah.
Oh, I like that. Well, no, hold on. What did you say, Ryan? You said home.
I said Liverpool at home. Fair enough, I conceded it to Chelsea.
Yeah, that was very good. Okay, I love that, boys. So away performance, we got Arsenal 3-0 at the Emirates. And at home, the 4-1 Chelsea battering of Graham Potter. Love it. Right, and then we're going to go with the performance.
Do you believe the paper?
We'll talk about that. But let's finish our season awards, and then we'll get on to that because that is juicy. Performance of the season, player. So Ryan, do you want to kick us off?
Performance of the season, player.
Yeah, one standout performance.
Do you know what? Solly's in with a few of these. Solly's been.
That's so weird because that's my one. That's my one as well.
Solly had a good patch. I still think Estupiñán needs to be mentioned as well because he gets up and down. He comes in, he inverts so well. I'm going to give it to... Let me think properly here. I know he's gone and I know we don't like him. But the one that's sticking out of my head was Leandro Trossard at the Anfield. It's the only third player to score a hat-trick there ever. And he carried us on De Zerbi's first game. I know that he's gone and I don't particularly like him for going. But, I mean, it's hard to ignore, you know? You could include Mitoma as well. Oh, we've had some great performances
This is how I decided my one. I was going through all of our thumbnails and YouTube titles. And the amount of Mitoma magics we've done. Then I got to De Zerbi's first game at Anfield, and the pod title was Potter ball with four shots of espresso. And Trossard got that hat trick. Yeah, that was a really important day. De Zerbi's first match, like said Ryan, like the record of the little way players that have scored a hat trick at Anfield to do that was just phenomenal. So that was my one simply because of that.
Yeah. Well, look, boys, I'm happily concede that. I did have one. It was Solly March against Liverpool, scoring a brace. But, I'll happily concede that. But, yeah, big shout-out to Solly March. Like Ryan said, he's had a lot of standout moments. Yeah. Individual
to
brilliance.
To be fair, Matt, because Trossard's gone, you could just concede it for Solly anyway, because by nature he's not even
I think it's a nice nod for Trossard.
Yeah, I feel like because we've all said,
he was great.
Yeah, let's give it to him because you know what? We're not bitter. We're not bitter on this podcast. Although Trossard, go suck him up. No,
did assist Dennis Undav for that lovely chip, so it's the least we can do.
Trossard. That's true. Another redemption moment. Versus Liverpool is the winner. Well done, Leandro Trossard, for your performance of the season.
You don't care.
Player award. Right. Right, okay, next one, boys, and I'll kick us off on this one. I won't. Most improved player. So, Benedict Spaulding, would you like to kick us off as the most improved player this season? I think we all know where this is going, do you want
to
do us?
I gave it to him last year, actually.
Did you?
Solly March again.
You predicted it.
Because he's improved again. Predict him.
You predicted him. Great. Last year, you said that he'd have a great season. Yeah. Yeah.
Fair play, Ben. That was the
ball
profit.
FIFA. That's the FIFA. It's all paying off.
Bates
and
all that. Yeah. No, but go on, Ben. Why Solly March?
I mean, and this is obviously credit to De Zerbi as well, because the player that he's made, Solly March, and there was a lot of speculation when Serbi joined, I think of comparisons with the Domenico Berardi, like how De Zerbi had made him to an absolute player, similar style to Solly March. Yeah. And, you know, we've actually seen that and he's done it. And, a lot of credit obviously goes to Solly, but also to De Zerbi for getting that confidence out of him that we've always kind of seen in glimpses, but never seen it consistently. And I think finally we got a manager that can manage to do it, and Solly's been phenomenal this season.
Yeah, I think just again, I'll just be clear, I am voting for Solly March as well. He was my most improved player. But just to add on that, I think his output is the key thing for me, and I know that's something we all wanted so badly. Was his output? You know, goals, assists, and his general play. Brilliant. And we even saw it, you know, when he got injured against, what was the home game where he came off injured? Oh, yeah, the Everton game where we lost 5-1. He was brilliant. When he came on as a sub, he was brilliant in that game. And, like, obviously got injured pretty much straight away after and pulled up. And that was such a shame. But, like, I feel like when he comes on now, he's got that confidence and he's got the aura, as Van Dijk would say. And he's got that about him, you know? Like, when he comes to the pitch now, it's like, oh, Solly March, he can actually take players on. He can assist. He can score goals. There's something different about him. I feel like the mindset's changed. And I think, yeah, like you said, Ben, a big credit to De Zerbi. But, yeah, my vote also goes to Solly March. And Ryan, who's your vote for?
Yeah, it's got to be Solly, isn't it? I think it's probably the easiest one of the whole lot. It's a bit of a no-brainer, to be fair, because Solly, I was a big critic of him. I mean, not to hate on him or anything, but I always wanted more. I thought for a winger, he just didn't provide enough of a, you know, an output for us. And all of a sudden, De Zerbi comes in and, he's hitting, you know, so many goals left, right and centre. He's scoring shots that he wouldn't have even tried under Graham Potter, getting a few assists on his name as well. Big credit to Solly March, definitely.
Yeah, big shout out to Solly March. Congrats on winning the most improved player from Seagull Social.
He loves that.
And of course, we wish you a very speedy recovery as well, of course, in your injury comeback. Right, boys, we're getting on to our final three segments of this award show. So the next one, Ryan, we have got the Young Player of the Season Award now. Look, Brighton have blooded some incredible young players this season, so there was a lot of choice. So, Ryan, Young Player of the Season Award, who is your nomination for?
Mr. Moises Caicedo. Fantastic player. Absolutely levels. He's 21, mate. Like, or maybe 22 now. He's a joke. Like, he is an absolute joke. I can't even explain it. He's a monster. And he will go on to be a top player. I can't
terrific
give enough
player
to Moises Caicedo, and he stayed with us through January. If he does go this summer, he's going to be very hard to
by
replace.
Force.
I know that. Yeah, I know that he's even candidate for a player of the season, but he's still very young. So by that, he has to win Young Player too.
Okay, love that. I'll go next. So I've actually got, and again, there were so many candidates for this. You could, I won't do honorable mentions because obviously Ben's still voting, but. I've gone for Julio Enciso, just purely for the goals, how important his goals have been this season, and the vibes, of course. I think like generally, like look, when he first came into the team, he wasn't maybe the polished player, but then from sort of Bournemouth onwards, he sort of really kicked on. That goal gave him the confidence.
Yeah,
the second goal that he scored,
And
things just changed for him. And I think like that goal against Chelsea, how important that was in a 1-0 win to get us that win. Of course, the Man City equaliser to ultimately officially secure European football. I think for such a young player to pop up in those very important moments, and also his style of play, like when you see him really full of confidence, the way he's able to take players on, he just got something. He oozes that quality. It was a tough one between a few players, but I'm going to give it ultimately to Julio Enciso. Benjamin?
I'll have to agree. I've got down Julio. Maybe it's recency bias because he's been so good, but I just think I'd have to give it to him because of his journey this season. Like at the beginning, we were a bit apprehensive, weren't we? A bit like, oh, is he cut out for it? And funny enough, literally before we started, I was watching like an old podcast, an old clip when we were talking about the Seagulls down under gate, and Paul Barber saying that he's probably going to go on loan to the Championship club, never did. And now to see what he's done now, which is incredible. Starting an FA Cup semi-final, we wanted him to stay on the pitch because he was so good, one of the best players on the pitch for us that game. The journey that he's been on is so, so cool. It reminds me of the Santiago Muniz from Goal, coming from, he came from Mexico and moved to immigrate to America, but obviously that's fiction. But yeah, Julio and Enciso kind of reminds me of that little journey, a youngster that nobody's heard of, getting battered, I can imagine, in training, and then getting used to the English football, and he's been so good. And yeah, the goals he scored are incredible. And you can just tell he absolutely loves the club and loves being there, yeah, simply because of his motion.
As much as I agree with you, and I love Julio, I'm a big Julio fan, and I agree with you with the journey. The only reason I'd push Moises is purely because it's player of the season rather than player of the last 3 months. And that's the only reason I'd say.
Yeah, Moises, I agree. Yeah, the recency bias is real.
I haven't given him that is because
for the next award. I got the next award. Yeah. What should we do? Should we decide on this, or should we do the
player
next
of the
award
last
and then
3 months
decide?
Is this one?
Very good, very good. No, the final one. Well, we got another little bit, but the final award is the player of the season. So I'll kick us off, and the reason why it'll all make sense. So I've given my player of the season to Moises Caicedo. Now I know you talk about age and stuff like that, but I think he's been colossus this season. And I know a very honourable mention to Pascal Gross because it was very tight between him and Gross. But for me, Moises Caicedo has been the heartbeat of this football team, in my opinion. Like, when I talk about Joel Veltman being out the side, when Caicedo's out the side, you really notice it. I think that's such a rare thing to see in football, when one player is so pivotal to a team. When you take them out, it seems like things just aren't the same, and you're just not the same team anymore. And I just think that whenever Moises Caicedo hasn't played this season, we've really been able to tell. Whereas, you know, let's say other players have come in and replaced other players, we've sort of coped. But with Caicedo, it's been really evident that we've missed him. And I think his qualities, how good he is, how strong he is, how he's just so tenacious. He never gives up. And he's just got that mentality of being an all-timer. You know, one of the great midfielders, I think, in my opinion. I'm going to give my player of the season to Moises Caicedo. Hence why I don't want to give him the young player of the season. But
that's how it does work, isn't it? Sometimes you see these awards and then they get both when they're the young player.
Yeah, true.
Yeah,
true.
I just wanted to divvy out the awards a bit more. Mine's Caicedo again. I think I already said that. He's just been so bloody good. So good this season. I think, Maz, you pretty much nailed everything. An honourable mention for a young player, though. Evan Ferguson, for sure. Unlucky not to do you didn't have the South American story that I adore simply because of a silly movie.
Came from Ireland. So, yeah. It just doesn't quite feel as good. Yeah. So therefore, we gave it to
you. It's only a ferry. It's barely anything else. Yeah.
And then, Brian, your player of the season?
My player, yeah. It's my player, my young player. In my opinion, I know you boys, I do agree with distributing, but in my opinion, if you're good enough to be the player of the season, by nature, you've got to win young player. It's a bit like how Haaland wins young player of the season. End of the day, he's fantastic. We don't need to go over it again. Everyone knows he's fantastic. He's destined for the top, that boy. As long as he keeps his head on, I'm sure he will. Absolutely love Moises. He's top. And he's my player of the season and my young player of the season.
Love it. Okay, so... All right, so, big congrats to Moises Caicedo for Seago Social Player of the Season. Then Young Player of the Season, then, boys, we do have to decide. So, what did you vote for, Ben? And Ciso?
Yeah, okay. Ciso.
Okay, I voted for Ciso. So, unfortunately, Ryan, it is two votes by
unanimous decision. We're done.
By unanimous decision. This is a very much like a boxing match. We got some dodgy referees on the card. And so Julio and Ciso is winning that. So yeah, big shout out to Julio and Ciso for Young Player of the Year. But of course, as Ryan's mentioned, look, Caicedo could have easily swept the awards. So
for sure.
Yeah, top. Right,
and also
final
shout
one.
Out to every other player that's played for Brighton this season, because they've been unbelievable.
Well, we're going to get on to this. We're going to get onto this. So,
Donkey Boy,
the final thing on this segment, we are going to be doing a rating out of 10 of what we think this season has gone. So, just give us a rating out of 10, and then of course a nice little monologue as to why you've given it that score and what this season sort of meant. So, do you want me to kick off, or Ben? Do you want to kick us off?
You go.
I'll kick off. Okay. So, I'm going to score this season a very, very solid 8.9? No, I'll give it 9. All right, 9. 9 out of 10. Now, I think this season has been sensational. It's been special. It's been incredible. It's been a roller coaster. It's been every emotion under the sun. We've had pain. We've had suffering. But we've also had incredible highs. So I think for where we've come from, the journey, I know we always talk about it, but from little old Brighton, from, you know, Goldstone to the Weird Dean to the Amex to now playing European football is just sensational stuff. And and you know, and again, like, you just look at this beginning of the season. What, after the Leicester game, we were fourth in the league and everything was great. Graham Potter was at the club, everything was going swimmingly, and we thought, lads, we can get Europe here with Graham Potter. And then it all goes downhill and he leaves to go to snaky Chelsea, and then Bruno goes, and then obviously the little sideshow Bob left as well before that. So it was all, you know, it all went to shit, and we were very worried. But then look, we bounced back, De Zerbi came in, the club was incredible, and yeah, to go from that to where we are now to European football, I think you've got to score it above 9. So that is my reasoning between for a score of 9, and to be the best ever season we've ever had in the Premier League and to get Europe, yeah, just phenomenal. Ryan, go on.
I think I've just lost you as I'm about to talk.
I know, you're in.
He's
you can
back.
Hear you, son.
Are we in?
Yeah, you're in.
Hello? my whole thing just completely went. I was like, I didn't hear you. Sorry, you asked me. So.
Yes.
That's a big question. Big question. 9.4. And the only reason it's not 0.6 is because we didn't get Champions League. Come on, I'm joking. But I think with everything that's happened, and obviously you can't give 10s because 10s means it's perfect, which means we won the FA Cup.
Winning the league
we
as well. Failed
that, and we would have got Champions League or something. That, then it's a 10, right? Because we can't actually get any better than that.
Yeah.
But, you know, we didn't win the FA Cup, so I've got to knock off 0.2 of a point, and I've got to knock off, I don't know, a couple of minor things there because the dream wasn't achieved. And Charlton as well, I don't forget. So, no, I'm joking. But no, what a season. Absolutely what a season. By far the best I've seen, without a doubt. You know, we said it before about the Championship. We always used to revert back to. Now this will be the one that people revert back to. You know, we've been the closest we've been with these players. This is this club. I've never felt like this with this team before. Not since the Championship anyway. It really is a close connection that we've got, and you can't just get that. It comes around, it goes. So we need to enjoy it while we got it, as we always say. But yeah, everything that's happened, the poetry of it, as you mentioned, Maz, it's biblical, isn't it? It doesn't get any more than that. It's just been written in the stars from the start. So full credit to everyone involved because it's been memorable.
Yeah, agreed. Well said. And Ben, finally.
Yeah. Funnily enough, mine was also between 9 and 9.5. I'll have to top Ryan simply for the shithousery and go 9.5 instead of 9.4. If it wasn't for VAR, then it could be very close to a 10. That's all I'll say.
Yes,
unfortunately, they spoiled our season, even though it's been such a phenomenal one.
Hope you're happy.
Enjoy
the money.
Pricks. Yeah.
You wankers.
Enjoy the money. You've got the grace and decorum of a dumping truck.
Just get better. Just do better. Do your job better. I know it's hard to say, hard ask, but just fucking do your job better. But no, it's been a brilliant season. Yeah, it's been poetic. It's been like a movie script, losing our manager. And that the where we've come from since then has been incredible. So it's been such a great season.
Also, I just want to bump up my score as well, because I think I was being harsh. 9 is pretty low. I'm going to go 9.3 as well. There you go. 9.3, 9.4, 9.5. Out of the season. So,
order.
And also, boys, just to be clear, if we all scored 10s, there's no room for improvement. So we're just leaving that gap for improvement. So next season, we bump it up to 9.8.
Win Europa League, we get to the final of the FA Cup, we win the Carabao, and we get Champions League. All of a sudden, we can't score a 10, can we? We'd have to say, but then what? So that's where...
Exactly. Well, 9.8. A 10 would be 10, 10. Getting the quadruple, mate. A 10 is getting the quadruple.
Yeah.
That is the perfect season.
Do a city. Boys, yeah, there you go. That wraps up Seagull Social Season Awards of 2022-23. Seagull.
What a season.
Well done for all the winners. Right, before we wrap up this video, because we are going to do another video, but before we wrap up this one, Ryan, as you mentioned, Graham Potter today is linked to the Crystal Palace job quite heavily.
Lol.
So, Ryan, let's kick us off,
top
mate.
Top target,
would you like to see that happen? He's top target. Would you like to see that happen? What's your thoughts on it? What's your feelings towards it?
Really weird. It's just weird, isn't it? Like, I just, you know,
It's just weird, mate. I mean, if it happens, it would be kind of fun. I mean, it does make the trips to Selhurst a bit fun, doesn't it? Because no one's going to like him anymore, are they? Surely there's not going to be anyone out there that's going to say, "Hope he does well." Do you know what I mean? So it would be great to just have a little bit more edge. I mean, it definitely spices things up a little bit, doesn't it, with the rivalry. But yeah, it's just a bit odd, mate. I don't know how long he'll even last there, to be fair. All of a sudden you see Zaha playing sort of like as an attacking centre-half. But yeah, it will be kind of weird to see him at a team like our rivals. But we'll see. It would be quite fun at the same time. So weird part of me wants it to happen, if you know what I mean.
Yeah. Do you know what? I'm exactly the same camp. I really want it to happen because I think it'll just be great to see Crystal Palace struggling to score a goal for ages. So
yeah, I think seven games without a win coming their way in January next year is mad.
Yeah. But that shows, I think, Ryan, and again, you made a really good point, actually. I think it shows our patience as a club. So Tony Bloom, I think, is a very unique owner in the fact that he will give you the time to you know, be the manager you can be. If you're not good enough, ultimately you're not good enough, but he will give you that time and patience. And I think my big question mark is, will Simon Jordan, not Simon Jordan, who's the guy who owns it, Parrish, will Parrish give Steve Parrish give Graham Potter the time he needs to be the manager he knows he can be? Because look, let's all be real, it can't get any worse than De Boer, to be fair. But let's take our Brighton caps off and think subject, or you know, what's the word?
I want to say one point with my Brighton cap on.
Go on.
Because I would love it. Yeah, it would spice up the rivalry. But two, because I haven't seen a single Palace fan happy with the link to Graham Potter. They're all like, no, absolutely not, would hate this. So it would make me even happier to see them get a manager they don't even want. That would be so good. That would be really good.
But to take your Brighton caps off, we have to admit, when he was at our club, he was brilliant. You know, he was a good manager for us. Developer, so if you take that away, you know, he has got the makings of being a great manager. Obviously, it didn't work out for him at Chelsea.
Just took a long time.
He was awful.
That's the thing. Yeah, it did. To actually work here, 3 years, near enough. So I think that, you know, realistically, the Graham Potter good days came in the last 6 months. And as much as I backed him from the beginning, because we could see what he was trying to build. If you look back on our old podcast, we were saying, oh, I don't know about this anymore. Like, you know, there was times where we were getting a little bit scared. And I mean, I don't know. I think that if they can sit through a year or two of accepting the fact he's not an impact manager, because I said this to Chelsea fans when they first signed Potter. I said he's not going to be impact. I said it's not going to happen overnight. And look what happened. I just don't know if they would, especially Palace, an ex-Brighton boy, and if he's not getting instant results, are you really going to want that? I mean, I personally don't think I would. If we got Vieira, for example, and he starts losing his first six months and we drop down to 11th, 12th, I'd be thinking, what have we done that for? And plus, he's ex-Palace. What do I want this guy for? You know what I mean? So,
I don't know.
No. It's weird.
I hear you. Ultimately, I would quite like to see it, to be honest. I think it would be funny.
It'd be funny.
Just to see see how it all plays out. And yeah, like we all said, it will add a nice little hit. Yeah, a nice little spice to every rivalry game we've got with Palace coming up.
It's another unbelievable dynamic to add to next season's Premier League script. It'll be class. Yeah. You're so good.
Yeah, the script writers are buzzing right now.
Yeah.
To Cobb, right, and now we're saying to Sellers. It's weird.
Unless there's anything else pressing, we happy to wrap up. Anything
Mohamed else? Dahoud on a perm.
Oh yeah,
well,
Dahoud.
Finally official. Sorry.
That is finally official.
So, Pursuit of the Truth, Brightonian, said that. There was a report saying that Dahoud turned down offers from Roma, Napoli, and Newcastle to join us.
Wow.
Which is a great marker. Yeah, and that is an incredible marker for where we're at as a club, and it's very true.
Yeah, that is insane. Napoli, considering they've just won the league as well.
Yeah,
but they're probably going to be losing a lot of their players, aren't they? Dahoud's a funny one, isn't it?
Sorry.
Oh, go on, Bet. Go on.
No, go on.
I was just going to say, with Dahoud, it's a funny one because I know his injury record is he's pretty much like a Lallana, isn't he? Like, we all know his quality when he's on his game, but is he on his game enough when he's not injured? Do you know what I mean? So that's my only concern with Dahoud. I know his injury record stinks. I'm not too confident in that respect of like how many games can he actually play? Because especially if we lose McAllister and Caicedo, that's a big gap to fill. And I feel like we need a marquee signing rather than like a stopgap or a person who's injury prone all the time. But
we're definitely building up that. Yeah, we're definitely building up the sort of depth, I think. And I think that if you're building up depth with quality like this, I mean, even a German fan said that, you know, for a free, that's borderline going to be player of the season, player of the season, signing of the season, you know what I'm trying to say. Like, it's going to be a very, very, very good acquisition. So a lot of people were rating it very highly. So, yeah, I'm all for it. I mean, I can't imagine he's going to flop for us. The only reason I could say is probably if he's going to get injured. Because I'd imagine to anyone coming into this, the Zerbi team at the moment, you'd like to hope they do well and you think they will. Also, just to follow on transfers, apparently, saw a rumour, probably not, I don't even know if it's true, but apparently. James Milner apparently had his medical today. Don't know if that's true, but we will see. But yeah, looks so. James Milner.
I did see someone running past my house earlier at like 50 miles an hour, so that's probably him doing his speed test or bleep test. Absolute weapon.
This is like, who was it? Was it Brian last week? Was like, I saw, no, was it Jack Albion a couple of weeks back when he goes, I saw Joel Veltman running around
in a car park. Yeah,
wasn't
it? yeah, that was it.
I love it.
Veltman's all right. Simon Hope up there for a run. But yeah, it's probably James Milner's back.
But yeah, boys, there you go. That is your season review and your transfer roundup with Seagull Social. Boys, listen. This has been an absolute pleasure. I really enjoyed that. Hopefully you guys listening and watching did too. Of course, make sure you hit that like button. It does mean a lot to us. It does really help with getting us discovered to other fan pages and all that jazz. And of course, keep streaming it on Apple and Spotify, all that good stuff. And boys, comments down below. What are we going for?
Should we end with a song?
Well, no, let's do comments down below and then we can do a song.
Comment down
below. Give us your awards.
Yeah, awards. Yeah, we want all your awards. So what we'll do, Ben, I'll send you the all the awards. You just put it in our caption so they can copy and paste
it. Pin it and then
put it in the comments.
But if I do forget that, I'll quickly rack through them. Player of the season, young player of the season, most improved player, unsung hero, signing of the season, performance of the season, home and away and individual player and goal of the season, and also your season rating out of 10.
Love that, Ben. Great recap.
Sounds good to me.
Three, two, one. We've come a long, long way together.
Thank you very much for being on here, ladies. We'll see you very, very soon, I'm sure.
Yeah, very, very soon.
I don't even know what that was either. So anyway, we'll see you very soon.
Peace out, A-Town down.
Cheers.
Bye.
What a season.
Peace.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximize your home ground advantage with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.